Well, as we come back to those words in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, again, take your Bible if you have one. I have a question for you. I wonder how you're managing to keep fit at the moment, how you're managing to get the exercise to stay in shape. How are you taking advantage of your one opportunity to do one type of outside exercise each day? Or maybe you're someone who is one of the million or more people who are following Joe Wicks's daily exercise video. Or maybe you're tuning into one of the live online ballet sessions that you can do at home. Or maybe you're taking part in the Adam Thomas exercise regime that involves frequent walks to and from the kettle. Well, whatever you're doing at this current time to try and stay in shape or not, as the case may be, I think for all of us, surely this is a time where we feel a bit more fragile, a bit more vulnerable as humans. Whatever state of health, whatever exercise we've done in the past, a time where we feel a bit more vulnerable physically as humans. We have this invisible enemy that's spreading across the world and through our communities that could come to us without warning at any moment and affect our health in serious ways. And however rich we are, however powerful we are, however intelligent we are, however many Joe Wicks exercise videos we've watched, we're not immune. We could even be a member of the royal family, we're not immune. And with all of the advances that our society has made in so many ways, one simple virus can bring everything to a stop. So it could be at the moment that we're feeling a bit more vulnerable, which is why this morning I want us to bring our vulnerabilities to God and hear him speaking reassuring words to us. I'm going to be looking at this section of 1 Corinthians 15, where these people in Corinth, Paul is imagining them, raising some logistical issues with the idea that people who belong to Christ in the future will be raised with new bodies. And the logistical issue that they come up with in verse 35 is to say, how are the dead raised? You know, you have this body and you put it in the ground and you leave it and it starts to decay. Is that really going to be reanimated as a reanimated corpse? How's it going to work? And Paul's quite direct in his response. He says, you foolish person. That's quite blunt, isn't it? You've probably all been in meetings where someone has said, there's no such thing as a stupid question. There's no stupid questions. Well, the issue here is not actually with the question itself, it's with what lies behind the question. The foolish person in the Bible is not the person who gets things wrong. It's the person who doesn't take into account God. One of the Psalms says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And Paul knows that there are people in Corinth who will take issues with the idea that Christ's people will be raised in the future because they haven't understood the power of God. Paul says that these people are foolish because they haven't understood the creative, transforming power of God. And I want us this morning to think a bit about the creative, transforming power of God that we see in the resurrection of Christ and in our future resurrection if we're one of his people. But before we get to the resurrection, Paul wants us to see the creative transforming power of God around us in just everyday life. He starts by pointing us to seeds. Verse 36, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that it is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. Sowing, planting seeds. In the Thomas household, we've been taking advantage of the beautiful weather. It's always beautiful weather, isn't it, when it's exam season or a nationwide lockdown. And we've been planting some seeds in the garden. We've been planting some sunflower seeds. If you're watching this, I've got them here. You can see they're starting to grow already. It's very exciting. And we plant these seeds and perhaps we're not as amazed as we should be at what happens next. Because who would have really thought that you take this little seed and you put it in the ground and you bury it, and then what comes out is a flower, a sunflower or a plant or even something you can eat. Who'd have thought? You put that seed in the ground, you bury it, and then out comes a flower. The life that comes in that flower. And what's behind that? That transformation from seed buried in the ground to a flower, what's behind it is God. Verse 38, God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. We don't normally talk about plants having bodies. We don't normally say that sunflower has a nice body. But Paul is preparing for what he's going to say about resurrection bodies. But the point is this. It's God, in his creative transforming power, who takes those seeds and causes them to become plants once they've been buried in the ground. The creative transforming power of God that we see around us every day, God's behind it. And in fact, let's not just think about sunflowers or even flowers, plants. Let's think about everything that's alive. That's quite a big category of things, isn't it? Think about everything that's alive. Paul points us to how God has created a diversity of living creatures. And each type of living creature is suited for its environment in which it lives. And so, verse 39, not all flesh is the same. There's one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. And if we weren't in a shutdown, we could at this point go on a tour of a zoo somewhere. We can't do that at the moment, but you get the idea. You get elephants that have one type of flesh, and then you have owls that have another type of flesh, and then you have octopuses, different again, all for their own particular environments that they live in. And who's behind that again? God, in his creative power, who at the beginning made the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and made different kinds of animals suited for those environments. And who's continuing to be at work even today as those animals adapt to changes in environment. And more than that, even at a cosmic level, we see that there are different types of stars and planets, different in greatness and glory. Verse 41, there's one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars. For star differs from star in glory. We see this creative power of God. We see it every time we put a seed into the ground and watch it grow. Creative transforming power. We see it in the diversity of nature around us. These different creatures suited to their environments and all these bodies in heaven. The creative transforming power of God. We see it around us, and the Bible tells us it's that creative transforming power that'll be at work in the future. In the resurrection of Christ's people from the dead. There'll be at work in the resurrection of Christ's people from the dead. Paul says in verse 42, so is it with the resurrection of the dead. And then he goes through a series of contrasts between what is sown and what is raised. What is sown is the bodies that we have now, these bodies in which we feel vulnerable, in which we feel fragile, in which we may have various health concerns, not even just about a certain virus that may be going around. That's what's sown, and we see that most clearly when we die, as we all will, and a minister of religion says something like ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Sown. But that's not the end for those who know Christ. Though we can also talk not about what is sown, but what is raised. And when Jesus returns, all of his people will be raised with new bodies, ready to live in a glorious new creation. In between death and the return of Jesus, Christ's people will be alive with him in heaven, but waiting for that ultimate final moment of restoration and renewal, where we will have glorious new bodies. And we get these four contrasts talking about what we can look forward to if we are Christ's people with this hope of resurrection. What can we look forward to? Four contrasts. What is sown, what is raised. The first one, what is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable. The bodies we have now are perishable. We don't normally talk about perishable bodies, we normally talk about perishable food. But our bodies are subject to all kinds of bad things that can happen to them. And we know it's not just viruses, right? Lots of other things can happen. And our bodies get older. And as we get older, things no longer work the way that they used to. And ultimately, that journey of perishability ends in physical death. What is sown is perishable, but what is raised, imperishable. That Christ will raise us with glorious new bodies that can't be affected by viruses or cancers or other health issues, and not even affected by death, but life forever. That's resurrection hope. What is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable. The second contrast, what is sown in dishonour, and it's raised in glory. Now, dishonour is a bit of an odd thing for the Bible to say about human bodies, because we've been created by God, and God said what he created is good. And those of you who are working as medics, and thank you, by the way, for what you're doing, but those of you who are working as medics will know better than the rest of us how amazing our human bodies are, and the way they all work, and the way that they can fight diseases and infections and heal themselves in different ways. We've got amazing bodies, amazing creations of God, but these are also bodies in which we experience different kinds of humiliation and shame. That's the body that we have now that is sown. But what is raised, the future resurrection bodies we can look forward to as Christ's people, never again will we experience that humiliation, that shame, that dishonour. But glory. Glory in the presence of God. It is sown in dishonour, it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, it's raised in power. I don't really need to say much about weakness at the moment. Lots of us feel weak in different ways, physically or mentally, emotionally, spiritually. That's the bodies we have now. We feel weak in so many ways. But in the future, raised in power, all those things are a thing of the past. Sown in weakness, raised in power. And then we come to the fourth contrast, which is the one that sums up all the rest, is the basis for all the rest. It's sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. Our bodies now, natural bodies, in the future, will be raised with spiritual bodies. Now, sometimes this contrast has been misunderstood, because we could think that it's saying we have physical bodies now, but in the future we won't have physical bodies, they'll be made of spirit. But that's not the contrast that Paul is getting at. The Bible isn't talking about a contrast between physical and non-physical, material and immaterial. We know that because when Christ was raised from the dead, a pattern of our own resurrection, he had a body in which he could eat fish, people could touch him. It was a real body. Now, the contrast isn't between physical and non-physical. We can think of it in terms of the environment. Like those different animals have different flesh for different environments. So our body now is suited, fitted for the environment in which we find ourselves now, this earth as it is now. But in the future, there's something even more glorious, this new creation filled with the Spirit of God. And we'll be filled with the Spirit of God like never before. And we'll have new bodies, that make us fit and ready for that environment of glory. We're sown a natural body. We have these bodies now, which are good for what we need. But we have something even more to look forward to. Raised a spiritual body, raised in power, raised in glory, raised imperishable. At the moment, we may be feeling very fragile and vulnerable. But if we know Christ, this is the hope we can have. A glorious new future that's not limited by those vulnerabilities. And as we look at those four contrasts, sown perishable, raised imperishable, sown in dishonour, raised in glory, sown in weakness, raised in power, sown natural, raised spiritual. As we look at those contrasts and the hope that it gives us, that hope of experiencing the creative, transforming power of God, the really exciting thing for us this morning is that hope, it's not based on our circumstances. It's not restricted by what we see around us, what's going on around us, how we feel at the moment. It's not a hope that's restricted by how we feel, our vulnerabilities, a sense of fragility. It's a hope that's based not on us, but a hope based on Christ. Having given us those four contrasts, Paul gives us another one, a contrast not between two types of bodies, but between two people, Adam and Christ. He's given us a contrast between Adam and Christ before, back in verses 21, 22. And now we get another contrast between Adam and Christ as the heads of two human families. We get introduced to Adam in verse 45. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. It's a quotation from the creation account in Genesis chapter 2, where Adam is created and given life by God, the source of all life. Given life to live in God's world and to have a relationship with God. Created with that dignity and that privilege. But then something happened. Something happened to disrupt Adam's experience of that life. Something happened to disrupt the experience of Adam's descendants like us. What happened was that Adam sinned. Adam disobeyed. Adam turned away from God. Didn't listen to God as he should have done. Didn't trust God as he should have done. Didn't worship God as he should have done. And because of Adam's sin, something changed in this world as well, and our experience of it. Rather than just being a place of life, it's now a place of death. Death is what we deserve for our sin. Because all of us have followed the pattern of Adam. All of us turn away from God and don't give him the thanks that we should do, don't give him the honour we should do, don't listen to him as we should do. And the punishment we deserve is to be separated from the life-giving God forever, which means death. And because of Adam's sin, it's not just death that we have to grapple with in this world, but all those other vulnerabilities that we experience, the sickness and the pain and the affliction. First man, Adam, became a living being given life by God, but his sin, our sin, has disrupted that life. But then we read about another person. Christ describes it in verse 45 as the last Adam. God the Son, the one who eternally has dwelt in heaven with his Father, God the Son, came into this world of weakness and fragility and vulnerability. He came into this world as a human. He lived in this world and then he died. He died in weakness and shame. He didn't deserve to die in weakness and shame because he had lived a perfect life. But in his death, he was dying in the place of his people, people like us, people who have sinned, who have turned away from God, who deserve to be shut out from his life-giving presence. Christ died in weakness and shame for people like us. That he didn't stay dead, but he was raised to new life. And in his resurrection, we read in verse 45 that the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Now, the description of Christ's life-giving spirit, we could spend a lot of time thinking about what exactly that means and not quite get to the bottom of it. But let's just focus on the main clear thing. Christ being the one who gives life, gives new life. Where we deserve death because of our sin, and in Adam, that's all we have. But in Christ now, we can know new life. New life. New life that comes with a guarantee. A guarantee sealed with Christ's blood, ensured by his power. A guarantee of what would happen in the future when we experience the creative, transforming power of God like never before. When verse 49, just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, that's Adam, just as we've had bodies like Adam, well, we should also bear the image of the man of heaven. In the future, we'll be transformed and have glorious bodies like the Lord Jesus Christ raised from the dead. I quoted the verse from Philippians 3 last Sunday, if you're with us. Our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body. We'll bear the image of the man of heaven, and it won't just be about our bodies either, but our characters will be transformed as well. Already, if we know Christ and if we have Christ at work in us, then he's changing us by his Spirit, changing us to be more and more like him. And one day when he returns and we have those new bodies, that work will be complete and we will be as like Christ as we can be in his perfection, in his love, in his holiness. We'll bear his image as we live with him forever. And nothing can get in the way of that picture of that eternal glory. Nothing can get in the way of it. We're seeing around us at the moment lots of places being locked down, aren't we? To stop the virus getting in. People being locked down. Well, in eternity there'll be a kind of heavenly lockdown. That where Christ's people are there in glory, nothing bad will be able to get in. No viruses, no death, no evil. And we won't bring anything bad into that situation either, because we'll be transformed so that we're free from the sin that we experience now and that we commit now. This new life we have in Christ, it comes with that guarantee of glorious bodies in a glorious eternity with our Saviour forever. So friends, does life feel a bit fragile at the moment? Do you feel a bit vulnerable at the moment? Christ, the risen Christ, can give us security. When everything around us is changing, when life feels so fragile, when we feel so vulnerable, Christ can give us this security. That these bodies that can be afflicted by viruses and death, that this isn't all there is. For Christ's people, there's more. Hope of eternal life in imperishable, glorious, raised in power spiritual bodies with our Saviour. That's the hope we can have. The hope that we can share today. Do you have this hope? None of us deserve to have this hope. None of us deserve that prospect of life. What we deserve is a prospect of death. I talked about that heavenly lockdown. What we deserve is we deserve to be shut out from that heavenly future. We deserve to be shut out from the presence of the life-giving God because of our sin. But Christ calls us now to come to him, confessing our sin, admitting that we've got it wrong, that we've disobeyed, we've fallen short of what we're created for, and asking Jesus to forgive us, to put us right with the God who made us, to give us new life and new hope. And if you haven't come to Christ and ask him to do that, we'll have our contact details at the end of the video. Please get in touch. We'd love to chat to you more about that. You come to know the risen Christ. And if you have come to know the risen Christ, remember this confidence, this security that we can have. And in the coming weeks, we'll probably still have that sense of vulnerability. We'll feel vulnerable. Life may feel very fragile. Life may feel confusing. Let's keep remembering that creative, transforming power of God that we see around us in the seeds and the animals. That creative, transforming power of God that we see in the resurrection of Christ from the dead. That creative, transforming power of God that we've seen in our own lives as he's brought us to new life. And that creative, transforming power of God that we will one day see in the future when Christ returns and we're raised imperishable. Let's remember those things. Let's find our security at this confusing time in our Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us that hope that this vulnerable body is not all there is. And as we find that security in him, let's keep seeking to bear his image now, the image of Christ, the man of heaven. We can't perfectly bear that image now, and we can't bear that image in our bodies as we will in the future. But Christ is at work in us, even in lockdown, to change us, to transform us, to make us like him. So in the next few weeks, let's keep finding our security in him, and let's keep praying. Praying not just for the virus to go away, we can pray that, but praying that we would be changed. Praying and reading God's word in the Bible, and praying that God would change us through those words. Being in touch with each other, not just to offer help and support, but to encourage each other to keep pressing on in following Jesus and being more like him. And to keep sharing the hope that we have, that however vulnerable life feels now, that we can have eternal security in Jesus Christ. The virus may make us feel vulnerable, no matter how many Joe Wicks exercise videos we watch. But in Christ we can have security now, throughout the whole of this lockdown, and forever. Let's keep remembering him. Let's pray. Oh Heavenly Father, we praise you for the hope we can have in our Lord Jesus Christ. That hope that one day he will come back and we will be raised with him forever. Father, we ask that you would remind us of that hope, that we would find security in it in the coming weeks, that we would keep returning to that confidence we can have in our Saviour. And I pray for any who have not yet come to Christ, who don't yet know that hope and that security, Father, I ask that you would draw them to yourself through your Son, that they might find rest and help in you. Amen.